Have you heard Spike's Car Radio? It's comedian, actor, writer Spike Ferriston sitting on the porch in Malibu talking with some cool people about cool cars and life in general.
My first guest is Jerry Seinfeld. He's right here. He was all right. Don't try to hug him.
Chris Hardwick.
I could feel everything on the road. I mean, it was basically like, it was like unprotected sex for driving.
Jeremy Piven.
You know what? I think you and Jerry are spiritually tied to cars, and I respect it and I love it, but I don't quite get it yet, but I want to get it.
Download new episodes of Spike's Car Radio every Wednesday on the Podcast One app, or save time and subscribe now at Apple Podcasts or at PodcastOne.com.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice, but get on, mandate, get on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for doing what you do and letting people know. It's Adam and Drew. We're doing the show, and you can hear us for free. Thank you.
Tell a friend, tell a friend.
Hey.
Hey, I was thinking about something.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to start with me?
Well, you're
up with a hay.
I got stuff.
All right, I have a quick one.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about traveling, and you don't take a computer when you travel. You just essentially have your phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard that the next iteration of the iPhone is going to be like $1,200. And I thought, if it replaces the computer, I don't use a computer anymore either almost. I use an iPad sometimes, but I don't use a computer per se.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, if they you know, help me replace the computer, then it kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I guess.
I don't know what's going to be in that phone. Yeah,
but,
I don't know either.
It's not that crazy a jump. I mean, your iPhone 7 Plus or whatever you have there is probably about $900. It just used to be built into your contract, so you would pay it over the course of 2 years. So they would subsidize them.
But I ask a lot from my phone, like that it hook up with my goddamn car, which it currently... Wait a minute. Now I got to know. Gary, somebody gone out and tried to fix that? Where's Matt?
I wasn't aware that there was another problem.
Get Matt. It's disconnected itself again. Matt told Dylan, go yell at Dylan the other day, my phone disconnects itself from its Bluetooth, and there's nothing I can do about it. You don't know how wildly frustrating it can be. Dylan, do we get my phone hooked up back with my car?
Yes, sir.
How does it... How come when I do it on the car and on the phone and it does not reconnect? How do you get to do it? Is there something I'm missing?
Bluetooth can be a little finicky sometimes. I just went into your settings and turned Bluetooth on.
Yeah, you went to the mechanical part and then turned Bluetooth on, and then you do on the car, you hit the phone, it says connect with Adams, whatever.
So to answer your question, no. It's not something
you didn't
he's
do anything.
Doing.
You didn't do anything differently.
No.
Did you? Then what I've been doing?
I didn't do anything different.
The worst part about, you know, Drew, you always talk about the unknown part about it.
I know.
It's the part where it just disconnects and then doesn't let you reconnect for an allotted period of time, like 2 days.
Ooh.
And then it just then you can reconnect.
I think it's your car. Something's up with the car. Bluetooth.
I've had three different cars.
Is this both for music and calls or just calls?
I only notice it with calls because I'm trying to.
I have a solution. Get him a USB wire, hook him in by line, forget the Bluetooth. He'll just plug his car thing in when he goes in, and that'll be the end of this.
That's not going to fix it with calls.
It won't.
That works for music and like multimedia stuff. The calls are still going to go through Bluetooth.
They have to. You can't do it through the media thing.
That's correct.
And you know to press answer on the radio, not on your phone. Because if you press answer on your phone, it'll go to your phone. But if you
this is calling out or either one.
As gorgeous as Adam's car is, and as nice as it is to drive, it has some of the shittiest tech of any brand new car.
That's what it feels like to me. Yeah.
Those are the last three cars, though. That's not
all the same manufacturer.
Yeah, but I don't. Look, people have said to me, like, well, maybe it's the car. Maybe Jag is not whatever. If Jag was having this issue and everyone who had a Jag was having this issue, there'd be a recall of 200 million units
now, although
this is insane.
Although I've had a series of BMWs over the years, and every single one had terrible air conditioning problems. I mean, terrible. And every single one.
You know my coffee table, which is what black people think white people talk about? This would be right in there. It'd be chapter 7. And I've had nothing but BMW 7 Series straight across the board, and the air has been terrible. I mean, it's blowing, you know, it's 62 degrees, but still.
Not blowing hard enough.
Yes, when I'm wearing my suede blazer, when I'm wearing my monogram suede blazer with my captain's hat. It's hot in there.
I am just saying.
Yes. All right. So
they're not known for having bad air conditioning, yet I had a universally bad air conditioning.
There is no way everyone could be sharing this experience with me and my phone disconnected from my car randomly and all the time. All right. So I have – so here's – all right. So you know how I am the sanest person on the planet?
Mm-hmm.
I realize I have one piece of sort of weird wiring, which is I have no weird wiring. I have no phobias. I have no fears. I have no real, like, there's nothing I do. There's nothing that controls me that's not rational. My only real downfall is sort of being a little too rational with stuff. Like, why can't we fix this? And why is this continued to be this way? Which you can say is its own thing, but it's more like that came home. The front door was unlocked 2 days in a row. I want to fix that. And then again, the therapist could say, let it go. Why would you want to let it go? Why wouldn't you want to fix it? But you could say that's irrational to be upset by that or to be whatever. But I'm not, I have that in there with like, oh, the guy works out too much. Like, I'm not really going to call it a problem.
Okay.
I do have this one thing, which is so you're talking to a guy who just climbed into a 935 car as a passenger and was driven around a track by a professional race car driver, which is a balls-to-the-wall kind of experience to be sitting in the passenger seat and being like this sort of having a guy just going at it.
Wow.
And it's the car is, you know, really big slick, so it has really great traction, but you don't know it when you're turning a corner at 110 miles an hour. That's like sawing away at the wheel and making all the noise. I just sat there like a limp doll. Just hands on my lap, no problem, not out of breath. If you put a monitor on my heart, you wouldn't know what I was doing. But the other night, been crazy, weird, hot,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's been crazy, nutty, hot.
Even now, I feel
Oh, Drew, relax. What do you got, the vapors over there?
You just feel weirdly weird.
It's 72 degrees inside here. The air conditioning's on. You're fine. Drew is a weird dude, right?
Go ahead.
Here's what I do have. Yeah. So the other night, middle of the night, 10 o'clock at night, I go, I'm going to go dip myself in the pool. One of my nicest things is I hearken back to climbing the cinder block wall naked and jumping into my neighbor's pool.
Yeah.
These type of nights, imagine sleeping in a garage with no air conditioning. Yeah. It was horrible. So I now treat myself by on an almost nightly basis when it's insanely hot or not. I just go into my own pool. I just float around for 10 minutes, stare at the sky, and I go, that's your pool. And then I go back. So I go back up to the deck.
Can I make a sidebar?
Mm-hmm.
Al Gore,
mm-hmm.
His pool,
mm-hmm.
To heat his pool, equivalent to 5 households in the United States. He consumes 21 times the amount of energy of the average households. This is in his Nashville house, 1 of 4.
Yeah, but he's doing the Lord's work by preaching at everybody.
21 times the energy of an average American household in his one house outside of Nashville. His pool, 5 times what an average household takes.
It's sort of this thing, and this is the part that I'm most confused about what's going on in our current sort of world, which is if I was going to embark on a speaking tour called What's Up, Fat Ass, and I was carrying around an extra 20 pounds,
yeah,
I would probably think, you know what? I should go ahead and work this off before I hit the circuit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to get up there carrying an extra 20 pounds and be called a hypocrite. You know what I mean? If I'm going to launch a movie, a speaking tour, if I'm going to go out and really hit the pavement, and all I'm doing is focusing on obesity and people carrying around and all the and how unhealthy it is to be even 10 pounds overweight, and I'm carrying around an extra 25, I'm going to sweat it off before I get out there. Because I don't want people saying, oh, well, look at you. I mean, when's the last time you caught a glimpse of yourself in underpants? You don't look so hot. Looks at you. How tall are you? 6'2"? You're 230? You're carrying around some extra. That's been my greatest fear. So if I was embarking on my national speaking tour, what's up, fat ass? I wouldn't do it as a heavy set dude. And if I was Al Gore and I was going to lecture the world, or actually the United States mainly, about consumption, I wouldn't have 4 stately manners. with swimming pools and heaters going, and readily accessible data. Like people, you know, of course, people just go online and go, what he used in 1 month is an equivalent, you know, what he uses in 1 year is equivalent to 26 years of an average household.
21 like, years.
Or
that's
whatever.
That's what he did. It, just in Nashville. Just in one of the four houses.
That's the part that's vexing to me. Not the part where the guy wants to turn a buck making cooked documentaries, but the part where he's a hypocrite.
Well, everything you predicted for 2016 came true. Oh, wait, nothing.
None of it
none
came
of
true.
It. Okay, okay.
Well, I will say this about that movie. I was somewhat shocked. Now, it was one of these things where I went to Rotten Tomatoes because I do believe politics bleeds into everything these days. And when you take a movie, like if you wanted to get a zero on Rotten Tomatoes, you'd call it America, We're Number One. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't. Now, if it starred Sarah Silverman, it was ironic. If it was an outhouse with a flag written, you know, American flag on
100%.
It. 100%. That'd be 100%. Yeah, right. But if you wrote America, We're Number One, and you just had a picture of Donald Trump giving the thumbs up, it would get a zero. Mm-hmm. Just based on the title. Now, so I was curious, like, I'm sure critics are going to go for this. I think the people had it like 48%, which is all right. And the critics had it like in the low 70s. And I thought, if they have it in the low 70s, that's bad. Now, you think the low 70s is good, but for this movie and Al Gore and beating the drum about the environment, this would be 110 normally. So there must be some inconsistencies here, or it must not be that good for the critics to have it not at 97%. Although I'd be curious.
Gun Academy. Oh, you mean the new one? You talking about the new one or the last one?
I'm talking about the one you're talking about.
Well, yeah.
I'm talking about the new one versus the old one. Yeah, but what is the new? Got to find out what the new one versus the old one is.
Kinda on Rotten Tomato?
Yeah. All right.
The old one's the Academy Award winner.
Well, yeah. So here is my weirdness, though, Drew.
Okay.
Here's what I do have.
Are we back at your pool, or are we still going without?
I was trying to get to my pool, okay. But you had to jump in.
I know. I'm sorry.
I went out to the pool. I dunked myself in my pool. And then I had to do that move where there's the pool opener. It's got the cover. So I went over, stood by the side of the house. You have to hold the button up. You just stand there for 30 seconds while the thing closes. And I started feeling like, what am I feeling? Like weird stump on my toes, my feet. I was just wearing a towel. And I thought, I must be dripping water onto my feet. It feels weird or whatever. And I walked inside the house, and I had these ants all over my feet because I've been standing there. Because when it gets weird and hot, you know, the ants just kind of go nuts. Yeah. And then I turned on, like, the light and went out with the flashlight, and it was like a horror movie. You could hear them, you know. You know, it was like ants everywhere, ants everywhere. For the rest of the night, I was like, oh, there's ants. There's ants. I was like watching TV going, I feel something on my shin. I know there's something on my shin. And I can feel it. And so I went out.
So that got your heart rate up.
Yes.
More than racing at 200 miles an hour.
Being in that car did not get my heart rate up, but the ants got me agitated. And I was sitting watching TV, and I could literally feel like an ant crawling up my shin. And I'd look down, and there'd be nothing there.
Yeah.
That is the thing I will cop to on being weird. I imagine a lot of people have that times 100 different weird things that way.
Yeah.
I don't have any of them, but I do with those ants.
There's a name for the sensory hallucination that feels like ants. It's called formication.
Mm-hmm.
Formica from the word ant.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And alcoholics in withdrawal get formication. Skin crawling on my skin.
But I was drinking at the time.
I know. Well, there's the cocaine.
You think you're a doctor?
Stimulants.
I was drunk, dude.
The meth will do that too.
Oh, yeah, I get it. All right, I'll play you this clip I was telling you about that Max Zapata was there for. Don't play it just yet. First, I'll play you, tell you about LifeLock, man. Free Wi-Fi, convenient, sure, on the go. Free isn't always safe, though. 92% of Americans put their personal info at risk using the public Wi-Fi. Somebody's identity is stolen every 2 seconds in ways you may not detect if you're only monitoring your credit. Thieves could sell your information on the dark web.
Ooh, sounds scary.
Mm-hmm. Get that online payday loan in your name. Once your credit gets screwed up, that's it. Mm-hmm. It's done. You're baked. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. If there's a problem, their U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but you do what I did. You do what my family does. You do what Philly Cheesesteak does. You go with LifeLock, and you have a little peace of mind next time you go online. Drew.
Act now. Get the added protection of Norton Security for free for the first year when you bundle Norton and LifeLock memberships. Plus, for a limited time, you'll also get a special 15% discount off the first year of your LifeLock membership. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam15. That is Adam15, and you will save 15% today. Terms apply.
Original got 93% with the critics and 78% with the audience. See, you can always, if you tell me what the politics are, I can tell you the bump versus what the critics will give you versus what the audience thought of it.
Yeah.
The new one, 78 with the critics, 43 with the audience.
That's so good. Now, is it because his story is losing cred because he was so wrong the last time, or is it just a less well-done film?
I have no idea. I just know that you can only cry wolf like so many times and for so long before people stop listening, even if there is a wolf or half a wolf. Yeah. Here's what the reality is. The reality is there's part of a wolf. You're screaming there's a 300-pound wolf. The reality is there's a wolf, but it ain't that big. So we should do something about the wolf, but you're screaming there's a 300-pound wolf, and everyone stop listening. It's basically how it works. Right. Also, your solutions for killing the wolf aren't necessarily as good or as consistent.
My thing is the wolf is coming. Let's plan to deal with the wolf. Let's not kill the wolf. We can't. Apparently, because there's, for whatever reason, can't kill the wolf. But it's going to be here, and let's deal with him. Let's deal with the wolf. Let's figure out how we're going to do that, not spend a lot of money keeping the wolf out when we can't.
I don't know, but I grew up with this shit. Max Pata, when we're done with this testimony, I said to you, it's crazy. Every black chick just talked about being black the entire time, and you said what?
I said that there are certain parts where I just wanted to applause because, yeah, it's true. Like, it was kind of jarring how
and narcissistic and self-indulgent and sort of pathetic.
Yeah,
there should have been a applause break.
It was like, but there was no such thing as one of them chiming in without talking about being black, which is, again, insane. I don't think it's a step in the right direction or toward the light, but I told Chris, put together a little montage. We'll just listen.
It pains me, I have to say, when I hear of African-American students in particular claiming about hurt feelings when it comes to speech, I say as a black woman and ask them to remember that Frederick Douglass, and I'm pleased that this committee has just passed a resolution.
He was from Green Acres.
A bill that will allow Douglass's bicentennial to be commemorated.
Mr. Douglass.
That at the same time that African Americans were enslaved, Frederick Douglass was able in even that society to denounce slavery.
I like what she's
all
saying.
Over the United States.
I agree,
States.
But it's still, it's all black centered.
My parents' life lessons helped to guide me in college when it was clear that there were some who did not want me there.
I love this theme. Yeah,
and
back
Mr. Carolla, I couldn't be more than in agreement with you about the toughness that's needed by young people. And I have to tell you, you don't have to look at any other group that's tougher than young black men and women who go to universities, or I have gone to universities, or predominantly white schools. You got to eventually, if you're going to come out of there on top, have a thick skin. I went to one of the most elite private boarding schools.
Me too.
In the early 80s when almost nobody was there that looked like me. You know what it's like to be an African-American Caribbean woman at a boarding school in Connecticut when you grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and being asked to give the black point of view.
The point is, here's my point. The boarding school is a bigger leap. Imagining being at a boarding school is a bigger leap for me than imagine being an African American woman at Walter Reed. Boarding school is a bigger leap.
Let's think about it for a second.
Yes.
That fact Aren't we? I thought everything everybody said there was actually kind of quite productive.
Yeah, super productive.
No.
No, that's why the blacks don't have any problems anymore.
But you're pointing out
Thursday.
But you're pointing out something that is really not getting even on the table, right? Which is the class issue, and that's not even being like that. She should have been as ashamed of saying what she said there, or it should have been as obvious to her that she was privileged.
Well, if you go to an elite boarding school,
right? That should have been as privileged as if you said, you know, I was in Harvard Business School in the 40s, you know, me and my billionaire friends. I mean, it's something. There's a subtext here that needs to be brought out. And you brought it out immediately. So that's what you said. I don't know what it was like to be in a boarding school. That there's something missing in the conversation that is a part of. I don't know how we get it there.
It's called humility.
No, focusing on that.
These people are so pompous. Okay. It's insane. Right. They don't have any self-awareness.
Okay.
It's like if I wrap myself in an Italian flag and I never stop talking about Ferraris and Pizzones.
But people do that, and you don't go, oh.
No, they don't do that.
Sal Governale over at Stern does that.
He's not an elected official. He's an idiot on a morning show.
How dare you.
Please, Drew. What kind of stupid argument are you making?
It's also in comparison to all the other congressmen and women that were speaking to. They didn't really do that. They just kind of just went to the
I feel the need to defend this a little bit.
Oh, shut up.
Because they were representing.
Yeah, this is how you get rid of the problem.
All right.
Drew.
All right. Okay. All right.
Drew and his white guilt.
No, Drew likes the backstory, though.
I like the moderate position always, and you're taking one position. I'm not disagreeing with you.
My position is leave your shit out of it, and let's talk about the problem, not weaving in. And also, this look. I went to college campuses. Some people don't want me there.
No, I don't know
what that means.
Yeah,
but I feel. Look, I feel there's that rings true for almost anybody who's 18 who shows up at a college campus.
That's true.
There may be some people that don't want them there.
That's right.
I don't think that was a big problem in the late 80s.
Well, you
when
feel
you showed
that
up
way.
To a college
right.
campus.
Right.
I think every girl who's more than 8 pounds overweight feels that way when she shows up to a college camp. Everyone feels that way. Mm-hmm. But to paint this country, also, here's what I always say. You showed up to a college campus. Some people didn't want me there. Then what? Then what? You were asked to leave.
Right.
The dean came by and escorted you to the gates, or did you just get your degree and then move on to Congress?
Right.
So what happened? And if the answer is nothing, I could show up to a Walmart and there could be people that don't want me there. But if I was able to shop and then go back to my car and leave, then I wouldn't really have a problem with Walmart. Would you?
No.
Or the country that it's in?
No.
But what about the people who wanted me out of aisle 17 but never did anything?
You just tell them to scram.
Do you know what it feels like not to want to be in the cereal aisle at Walmart, knowing that everyone's looking at you?
While you're looking at the Quisp?
Yeah. Cinnamon.
Quisp and Quake.
Yes. It's stupid. Drew has to go along with it. I get it.
But, no, true car.
It's a big waste
true
of time.
True car, buddy. Can help you buy used cars as well as new cars. Over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles from those over 13,000 true car certified dealers. So whether you're looking to buy new or used, get the upfront pricing. That's right. You see what other paid for the car you want. You learn about that car. You get the fair price. You lock it in. You contact a local True Car certified dealer, and you know you've locked in a price for actual inventory. What you have locked in is for a specific vehicle on that True Car certified dealer's lot, so you'll enjoy a quick, easy buying experience. Again, whether you're looking to buy new or used, get upfront pricing and discounts off the list price you can't get otherwise. Overall, a better buying experience. True Car, you visit True Car when you're ready to buy new or used. Go there, get that True Car app, learn about the car you want, learn about what others paid for you, lock in a fair price, and you know for sure you've got a fair price, and you've locked in a price for a specific vehicle on that True Car certified dealer's lot, new or used. When you're ready to buy, visit True Car. Some features not available in all states.
So, Drew, in a nutshell.
In a nutshell.
Everybody wants to have a dialogue about race. I don't want to have a dialogue about it. That's my whole point. It's not time for anything.
It's time
except
to get
for just to go on.
Go
on just
with go, business.
Go,
yeah,
get
it's
to
time
work.
To get on with
Everyone
business.
Just go
yeah,
to work.
I agree with that.
You go to college. Some people want you there. Some people don't want you there. Mm-hmm. Mostly people don't care. 99.9% of people don't care if you go to college or don't go to college, don't go to work, whatever.
It's kind of like, it's kind of like being a high school kid and going, they're all thinking about me. They're all, they don't like
yes,
me.
Yes. High school, it's all narcissism.
Well, it's in high school, nobody cares. They only care about people are only focused on their own crap. That's the way it goes in high school.
Well, people care about the people that can make them money and who can perform. That's about the same relationship you have with your doctor. Don't really care what the heritage is. Just want the best. Fill in the blank surgeon, fill in the blank or anesthesiologist. Does anyone, do you know anyone, do you think anyone cares what their anesthesiologist is other than I want the best? That's it. I'd say even the most racist guy doesn't care. He wants the best because ultimately he's looking out for himself.
Well, I was thinking about when I had my prostate surgeon, I went and talked to the surgeon. It didn't occur to me. I didn't even register what race. I didn't even think about it. I have trouble remembering now what I'd even qualify race as. I mean, I don't care.
No, the first is you want the best.
Yeah. I just asked what his complication rate was. I saw the Yale
he
thing on the
or
wall.
She.
Here's
he or she.
Absolutely. Great she was
Jones.
My anesthesiologist.
She was
my anesthesiologist.
She or he.
And
hold on.
And I did
she
not.
She or it.
And guess what she did all day? Liver transplants. And I was like, fine, let's go.
All right. Let's see. Niall?
Hello.
31, Ontario.
Hello,
what's going on?
Hello, Dr. Drew. So I've got an addition to your spunk sway.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, I was having up myself, and my phone connected to the Bluetooth in the downstairs living room, and my wife overheard what I was watching.
Interesting. Gary's had a very similar experience happen. Drew, you do know the art of spunk shui, right?
I'm learning about spunk shui. Spunk shui.
I was helping Bill Simmons, the sports guy, arrange his office many years ago. And it was an office, outdoor detached office, like off of the pool.
Oh, you need to,
in
yeah,
the back.
Right.
And the main house was all French doors in the back and a patio and a step down.
I know where you're going.
And he's like, Ace Man, I want to put my desk this way. I want to put all my TVs against the wall and have my computer on my desk this way. And I'm like, don't turn your back to the house because your wife could come out at night, you know, you're saying, yeah, I'm going to the office, I got to put a column to bed. Yeah. And you go in there and you're watching a little U-porn and you got your back and she's walking down and they're seeing what's on the screen as well. I said, turn it around this way, put the TVs on that wall. They'll see your face and you'll see them walking toward you, but they won't see what's on the screen. That's just good spunk shui.
Have you ever seen the devices that the feng shui guys use? These little sort of little compasses thing. What's the spunk shui device?
It's a Kleenex box. It's a Kleenex box, but I let it float in water that's supposed to be from the Sea of Galilee, but it's really just, I think it's just
toilet
distilled.
Water. Yeah, still water. Okay.
And it'll float, and it has a little magnetic pole, and it will tell
you where to put the furniture and stuff.
I hold it, and
the pans you use
to drain transmission fluid?
Yeah.
Carry it around.
Sure, sure.
With that, it'll start to...
Yeah. And it'll tell you where
the
good spunk shui is. Mm-hmm. If you have questions, I mean, it's obvious certain things where they go.
Yes.
I mean, how could you have such bad spunk shui? I understand.
Niall?
You'd think a grown man would understand these things.
Yeah, you got to watch out with this stuff.
Yeah, so that's not really my problem. My problem is that my wife was quite upset at the content I was watching.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
So, what
was the content?
Well, what I thought it was a traditional, like, sort of threesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a turn where the men partook of each other, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. How was she aware of that? Just the audio?
Yeah, she heard the audio, and I thought my phone was on mute in case she walked by the bathroom.
Again, that's why this is bogus.
Mm-hmm.
He's not thought that part out yet, that you're the obvious question you're asking.
Which is, how would she know what the content was by the audio?
Right.
Oh, mm-hmm. I guess the gentleman was saying something like,
suck my dick,
you know,
dude.
Yeah.
Or Chad.
I believe it was something like, stick it in my bum or something like that.
All right, now, but have you mended this rift in your relationship?
Well, no, because she's like insistent that it means something, you know.
Oh, please.
Please.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
Drew's, we're going with bogus here.
Bogus.
All right, let's see. You want to take one more here?
Zach
on line 4. What's going on, Zach? 35 Vegas?
Uh-oh. Hmm? Doesn't sound like he's there. Zach, you there?
I don't know. Gary's got his own Spunk Shui Bluetooth story.
Oh.
You got a blue ball story?
It's very similar. There was no discussion afterwards besides, you know, the speaker's on, which was very... It hit me right where it should have, right where it needed to. I got that message and never made that mistake.
Who was in the house?
She was in the house. I happened to be on the balcony.
The balcony?
Dude,
what's going on the balcony? And who lives underneath
you? I wasn't really doing anything. I was more perusing for future use. Lining something up for later.
Yeah.
And I'd forgotten that about 20 minutes earlier, I had taken a shower and turned on the Bluetooth speaker as I like to listen to music in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, this technology, it's sort of like cops and dashboard cams. There were like too many years of cops with no dashboard cams, and now the dashboard cams are like 5 minutes old. And you see guys like beating up stuff, guys on the hood of their car, and you're like, don't you know you had a cam? And it's like, it takes a while for the human to catch up to the technology and the possibilities.
Oh, yes.
Wait a minute. Zach.
Zach?
I hit Zach?
Zach, yeah.
Zach?
I don't think he's there.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's just bring it home.
All right.
We'll maybe talk to Zach. It says he faints when he gets blood drawn. Uh-huh. Maybe getting some blood drawn. Hey, I'm doing live shows all over the place. Chicago, Minneapolis, Nashville. Come on out. Dennis Prager out in Brooklyn doing a show out there. I don't think I've ever done a show in Brooklyn. Really? So come say hi there. Go to AdamCarolla.com. I want to find out anything. And the new movie, King of the Underdogs, new offering over on Chassis. It's a very interesting story. Good pick. Yep, Drew?
Go to drdrew.com. Yep. Check out the Dr. Drew podcast, the This Life podcast. Got an interesting one up there with a Facebook post as well with me and Bob Forrest and Andy Dick.
Yeah. Andy Dick.
Yeah.
All right.
With us.
So until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.